We'll discuss tonight the question of Shol Shlomi Das, or more specifically, Socher Shlomi Das, someone who, quote-unquote, rents something without actually managing to obtain the consent of the owner of the property, meaning someone takes someone else's thing, plans on paying, doesn't plan on stealing it, but he doesn't actually get the permission of the person, of the other person. What is his status in halacha? So background first, we have a gazlan. A gazlan is someone who just steals. He is chayav ba'unsim, meaning no matter what happens to the thing, lightning hits it, someone steals it, is his fault, not his fault, doesn't matter. Someone who steals something is chayav ba'unsim, is chayav for everything, unless he repays it, unless he gives it back in original condition, he's chayav for everything. That's a gazlan. Shol Shlomi Das. A Shol Shlomi Das is someone who borrows something without getting permission. Not planning on stealing it, he's planning on returning it. He's not planning on putting any wear and tear or damage to it. It's something which maybe even comes back intact. Nevertheless, he has the status of a Shol Shlomi Das. There is a Shaila in the Gemara whether such a person has the status of a Gazlan or an ordinary Shoel. There are two opinions in the Gemara. La Halacha, we paskin. He's also a Gazlan. Shol Shlomi Das, Gazlan Havi. You have the status of a Gazlan. And again, either a Shoel or a Gazlan is Chaya Ba'unsim. But in any case, he has the din of a Gazlan. Whether you steal something and you plan on never returning it, or whether you steal something and you plan on returning it intact, either way, you have the status of a gazlan, and you are chayav no matter what happens to the object.
What's the punishment?
We're not talking about punishment. We're just talking about what you're chayav according to din. So
Nafkamina not being even nachas malacha, that would be the difference?
That's the difference between a gazlan and a regular show. Yes, that would be one nafkamina. There might be others, but at least one nafkamina would be meis machnas malacha if it got damaged in the course of normal usage. But either way, right, you're a gazlan and you're chayav for all ansim, and a gazlan's chayav even for meis machnas malacha. The question we'll begin by discussing tonight is what is the status of a socher shlomi das? You take something, you plan on, not only do you plan on returning it intact, you plan on paying the going rate for the property that you used. What's the status then? Does the Socher Shlomi Das, is he also a gazlan, or is he not a gazlan? So this is based on a Trumas Hadeshin. The Ramon, the end of Siman Shin Ches, brings a Trumas Hadeshin about a guy who took someone else's horse. He desperately needed a horse. He had to get somewhere. It was very important. He took someone else's horse without permission. So the Trumas Hadeshin, the Ramon, elaborating on the Trumas Hadeshin, they discuss a number of cases. If the guy is there and he says no, then you're a gazlan. If he's not here and you took it without permission, then you would be called a Socher Shlomi Das, and you would not be called a gazlan, even though a Shol Shlomi Das is a gazlan because you're not planning on paying for it. A Socher Shlomi Das, the Ramah says, is not a gazlan if, one condition, if the thing is omed for schiras, if it's a, you took a used car, if you took a car from a rental lot, and he's not around to actually check you out, so you'll bring it back, and you plan on paying for it, that's a Socher Shlomi Das. If it's Omid Lahasker, a donkey rental business, it's Omid Lahasker, then the Ramah Paskins, based on his understanding of the Trumas Hadeshin, that you are not a gazlan, and therefore you are not Chayav Ba'unsim. If, nevertheless, people made it clear to you, his household made it clear to you that he needs the donkey, don't take it, even though he himself is not telling you that, but if it's clear that he needs it and wouldn't want to rent it out, then it's like a donkey which is not Omid Lahasker anymore, then again you're a gazlan, and again you're Chayav Ba'unsim. However, one last exception is, if the case is that you have a major loss, and he does not have a major loss, or his loss is less than your loss, and you plan on compensating him for his loss, then even though in din you should still be a gazlan, who cares that you have a loss? You can't be matzil yourself or someone else's property. Nevertheless, in these types of scenarios, there are some shittas at least hold this takana, a tnai basin, that if you're willing to cover any loss that he has, then again you're not a gazlan. There's a tnai basin, you're allowed to take it to save yourself from loss. So I want to focus first for a few minutes on the Chiddush of the Ramah, that if it's omed for schiras, if it's something which is meant to be rented out, is normally rented out, and you take it without permission, you are a Socher Shlomi Das, and you are not a gazlan. That's how the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch paskin. The Ramah and the, based on the Trumas Hadeshin, that's how they paskin. The Acharonim all ask a kasha. They ask a kasha from a Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara says, HaTokiv Sfinasu Shel Chavero, if you take property, a ship, Taltalin, some kind of property of your fellow man, and you use it to do malacha, then the halacha is he's allowed to charge you for any damage that occurs. You took it adai to the schiras, the Gemara says, different shita in the Gemara, different studen, but if you took it adai to the schiras, you took it intending to pay him whatever the rent was, but without permission, the halacha is, ratza pichsa notil, he's allowed to charge you Ratza Agranotel, Ratza Pechsanotel, but he's allowed to charge you for Pechsa, he's allowed to charge you for any damage to the property, to the ship. So how can the Truma Sadashin and the Ramah say, you're not a Gazlan, you're not Chayav Ba'onsim? There it says explicitly that you are Chayav for damage. So the Ksos, the Nesivos, Machne Ephraim, Truma Sakri, all say basically one Mahalach. They all say, depends how it got damaged. If it got damaged by lightning, something just an accident happened, nothing to do with your malacha, nothing to do with what you did. It's in no way because of you. So if you'd be a Gazlan, you'd still be chayev, because a Gazlan is chayev no matter what. We don't care, fault, his malacha, not his malacha, we don't care. If you can't return it in its original undamaged state, he's chayev. So if you'd be a Gazlan, you'd be chayev for that. Since you're not a Gazlan, because you plan on paying, and it's almid l'schiris, you're not a Gazlan, so you're not chayev for that. That's fine. But if you caused the damage, if it got damaged in the course of your work, then even the Trumas Hadashin and the Ramah agree that you are still chayev, because you caused the damage. Now, it's not entirely clear what the svara for that is. The way some achronim explain it is, what a regular shoah, let's say someone who borrows something with permission, then the halacha is exactly the opposite. He's chayev for onsim, but he's potter for meisam achmas malacha. This guy, the poskim are saying, Shana the Ramah is, he's potter from stam and onus, and he's chayev for meisam achmas malacha. A normal shoel is just the opposite. He's chayev for onsim, lightning hits, he's chayev. He's potter from meis machmas malacha. Why? So the Rishonim explain, we'll get into the svaras a little bit later, hopefully, but the Rishonim explain that when you had permission to use it, that's a special p'tur that gives you a p'tur for meis machmas malacha. The Torah said, yichayev ba'onsim, im tarof yitarev, that ba'olav enim ushalim yishalim, ba'olav hu lo yishalim, but if it's not ba'olav imo, the Torah says, yichayev for all onsim. One exception is meis machmas malacha, because since he gave it to you to use, somehow he's patering you right there from the whatever the hesber is from meis machmas malacha. This guy, you took it without permission. You're not a gazlan, maybe, because sof kol sof you planned on paying, but you're not a gazlan, so you're not chayef onsim. You're not even a regular shoel because you planned on paying. So the chayef onsim you don't have, but if you cause the damage, then you are chayef, and you don't have the ptur of meis machmas malacha because he didn't give it to you. He never authorized you to use it. We'll discuss again the svaras in a little more detail soon. That's the shita of these achronim, al pi the Ramah, that you're still chayev for tzos and sivus and others. You're still chayev for if you cause it, if it's meis machmas malacha. Machne Ephraim is actually inclined to paskin. He seems to feel that it's mistat, that he has diukim, that you're potter even from meis machmas malacha. He thinks that's mashim from the Trumas Hadashin. But again, the other Akronim disagree. The other Akronim say that you're chayev for meis machmas malacha. It has to do with how you interpret the Gemara in Bava Kama, Rashi over there, technical details, I'm not going to get into it. But that seems to be a machlokas, whether you are potter from everything or still chayev for meis machmas malacha. There is another machlokas here. In the case where you took it berushus based in, tanai based in, the case where you took it because you had an imminent loss, and the only way to save the loss is by taking it, so the Smah explains that there's a Tanai, the Gemara talks about a Tanai basin, that you're allowed to take his property to save your property as long as you're willing to pay him whatever, even though normally he can't be Mashlas Mamon Chavero. Here there's an exception, they made a Tanai basin, you're allowed to take his property to save your property and pay him whatever cost he has. So here, what's the halacha? Are you chayev for everything, for Onsim and Machmas Malacha? Are you potter from Onsim and chayev from Eis Machmas Malacha? Are you potter from everything? Here we have a three-way machlokas. The Nesivos says that in this case, you are potter legamri. You're potter even from Eis Machmas Malacha. You're exactly like a regular shoel. Even though you didn't have actual reshus, since Beistin allowed you to take it, there's a Tanai Beistin, that's the equivalent of having actual reshus. Beistin can give you the same reshus the person himself can give you. And therefore, the Nesivos says that you are potter certainly from Onsim, you're not a Gazlan because you had reshus Beistin. You're potter even from Eis Machmas Malacha. Meidach Gisa, the Machne Ephraim learns here that you're chayev in meis machas malacha, you're chayev in onsim, you're chayev in everything. Beis Din let you take it, yes, they let you take it, you're not a Rasha, you're not a Gazan, you're allowed to take it, but you have to accept the consequences. It's not omid for schiris, you can't call it schiris, it's not yours. Beis Din said you can do it, but we're not giving you any special peturim. Your chiyuvim would be exactly as you would if you were a Gazan, just you're allowed to do it, that's it. But you have all the chiyuvim that you would have otherwise, you're chayev even for onsim. The Ksos is not so clear, but at least some people understand the Ksos to be saying that the din is the same as Omid L'Schirus, that you are potter from Onsim because you're not a Gazlan, because Beisin gave you Rishus, but you're Chayev for Meis Machmas Malacha, because since you didn't have actual Rishus, nobody gave, the owner didn't give you his actual blessing, the owner didn't give you the Ptur, so you still have the Chiyuv of Meis Machmas Malacha, that any shoal would have, if not for the special svara that he specifically said, you're not chayiv from eis machnas malacha. Here you don't have that, so the ksos hashita, as understood by some, is that you're chayiv for eis machnas malacha and you're pater for your pater from onsen. Those are the three shitas in the case of Tanai Beis Din. I want to turn to another case, which is not exactly Sarcha Shlomidas. This is a very interesting machlokas in the Achronim. What happens, the halacha is, we know that if someone has something which can be used to do a mitzvah, tefillin, talis, svarim, according to some poskim in contemporary times, and he's not around to ask him, and you want to just go and put on his tefillin or put on his talis, use his svarim, are you allowed to do that or not? So the general rule is that you're allowed to. This is far that nechle le'inish le'mitzvah memone. This is far that people would be okay with you doing mitzvahs with their property. The one exception is basically that if it's something that's easily damaged, you're not allowed to. That's why svarim, the early poskim say, the Gemara says, the early poskim say svarim you're not allowed to because svarim were fragile and expensive. So some poskim say today they're cheaper and they're less fragile, so maybe today they're like talus or tefillin or maybe not, but whatever it is, that's the general rule. Something which is not particularly fragile, not there's no great risk, you're allowed to do because we assume he would be okay with it. And if it's something that's fragile, you shouldn't be doing. So the question arises, what happens if you take his talus, you take his thing, you use it for the mitzvah, and it gets damaged while you're using it for the mitzvah? We're not talking about when you're negligent. If you're negligent, then of course you're chayiv. You're not negligent, but something happens anyway. One case they discuss is a shofar. Magen Avraham paskins that you're allowed to borrow someone's shofar and use it, and or chayim, you're allowed to borrow someone's shofar and use it on Rosh Hashanah to do the mitzvah. If he's around, Mishnah Berurah said, if he's around, in general, you should ask the person in all these cases, but if he's not around, you may use it and assume he'd be okay. Ramah says, even though a shofar, the Magen Avraham says, even though a shofar can crack, it's not such a high risk, and you're allowed to do it. And most of the Akronim passing like this Magen Avraham. Mishnah Berurah, the earlier Akronim, they generally pass like this Magen Avraham. A shofar is a low-risk thing, and therefore the rule of Nechle Linish, Mitzvah Mamone, applies to shofar. So what happens if you blow the shofar and it cracks during, so you actually, it's machmas malacha, you actually caused it. Here we find the machlokes achronim. The halachas katana says you're potter because of mesa machmas malacha, and he doesn't actually say in the tshuva explicitly that it was without permission. He talks about taking someone's shofar and using it and it cracks, but the pashta says he means taking it without explicit permission. That's what the Stechemen brings, that's how he understands it. And he says you are potter. He doesn't explain too much, he just says mesa machmas malacha. On the other hand, the Chidon, Berke Yosef, brings a tshuva of Ksav Yad of Rabbi Molcho, Marie Molcho, and he says that you are chayev. You don't have the ptur of Mesa Machmas Malacha. Now, it's not entirely clear that he held like this Magen Avraham that you're allowed to use the shofar in the first place. He's very unclear. He just says, if you took the guy's shofar without permission and you blew it in a crack, you're chayev. Some Akharim seem to understand that he agrees to the Magen Avraham, because all the posts can do, that you're allowed to borrow it, and still he says, Meis Machmas Malacha, and he disagrees with Halachas Ketanas. Halachas Ketanas says explicitly, you're allowed to do it, and it's Meis Machmas Malacha. Mari Molcho says, you're chayev, and it's not Meis Machmas Malacha. Some understand, even though he agrees that you're allowed to do it, he still felt it was Meis Machmas Malacha. Others suggest, the Chemet suggests, that nope, he held you're not allowed to do it. He held you shouldn't do it L'chatchila, and if you do, then you're chayev, because you have no permission to do it. Not entirely clear. But if we say Kipshuto, that some Achronim seem to do, that he, the Stechemen says it's the Pashtus, he would agree to the Magen Avraham that you're allowed to borrow it, but still, if it breaks, you're chayev. So would he say the same thing by Tzitzis, by Tfillin? I'm not sure how they can break easily. I guess the Tzitzis got tangled, or they got ripped somehow, not through any fault of your own. So would he actually say chayev in all these cases or not? Not so clear what the chiluk should be. But I'll call upon him, we do have the Shita of the Chidah, B'Shem the Mari Molcho, that if something that you borrowed to do a mitzvah with, which pashtus you had permission from Chazal to do, you had permission to do, and still you're going to be chayav because sof kol sof, it wasn't to show midas, you didn't have explicit permission from the owner, and therefore you are chayav.
So what's the whole deal about nechle?
Nechle means l'chatchila, you're allowed to do it, but just like a davar that's omid l'schiris, you're allowed to take his donkey, which is omid l'schiris, because we assume he wouldn't mind. We're not a case where there's no reason to assume he wouldn't mind. He rents out the donkey every day. You're allowed to do it, and you're not a gazlan. If an onus happens, you'll be potter. Here also in the case of the shofar, I don't know if any post can say you're chayev for an onus, but not connected to the malacha. But if you actually broke it, then you're going to be chayev. And the truth is, the drisha really, I didn't see any of that Quran bring this drisha, but the drisha already says that you're chayev in such a case. The Drisha says, the high time anami, he's talking about a more complicated case of shomer 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 shomer, but he's talking the high time anira, we paskin, you're allowed to wear tala shal mitzvah shal chavera shal abrashus, tefillin, because of the svar of nechle leinish. So the Drisha says, in yiskalkal mitochka chayiv l'shlumele. The Drisha says, lehedya, the way what the other akronim say is the shita of the Mari Malcho, even though you have rashus, talis and tefillin, you have rashus l'kuli alma, nevertheless you chayiv, d'lo havi shal midas. Self-consult, you don't have permission from the owner. Now, the Stechemid wants to be Masber. He doesn't bring the Drisha, but he wants to be Masber this Shita. He brings another Akron, is specific about a later Akron. He wants to be Masber. Why wouldn't there be a Ptur of Meis Machlis Malacha here? So he says, what is the Hezber of Meis Machlis Malacha? A regular Shaul, you chayef from Unsim, and you still Potter from Meis Machlis Malacha. Why is that? It sounds almost perverse, the Rishonim ask, that if lightning hits, you chayef, and if you actually break it, you Potter. Why should that be? So they bring three Mahalchim in the Achronim, in the Rishonim and Achronim. The Ramban says a Svara that if it breaks while you're using it, it's assumed, presumed to have been deficient. He gave you a deficient thing. If I ask for a hammer and the hammer shatters when I hit a nail, the hammer was deficient. So it's his fault for giving you a junky hammer. It's his response. So it's the owner's responsibility, not yours. They bring the Nemuki Yosef, who says that when he gave you the hammer for normal use, any consequence of normal use is included in his indemnification of you. By giving you permission to use it, there's an implicit indemnification from any damage that comes from normal use. Then there's the Svara of the Machan Ephraim, his own Svara, an innovative idea that if he gave it to you, similar to the Ramban, but he says if he gave it to you and it turned out that it wasn't capable of banging nails, it was deficient, not so much that it's his fault, but that it's a Mechachtos, and then my Kabbalah Zechariah, the Shoel's commitment to be responsible for damage, under false pretenses. I assumed it was a good hammer. You turned out it was a bad hammer. So again, similar to the Ramban, but the point is, if you give me a bad hammer, it's not fair that I should be responsible for it. I never agreed to be responsible. So the Stechemin wants to argue, all these faras are only shayach, where he chose to give it to you. Then you can say, it's your fault, you gave me a bad hammer, why should I be responsible? You were matir lo samisa, you accepted that. So that's all when you have a conscious permission from the owner. But if you just took it because it's a general umdana, that you made the assumption, Chazal made the assumption it's a mitzvah, so he wouldn't mind. That's very nice, but it's not his fault that you took it. You can't blame him because you took it and it broke. So then you're going to be chayav for meisa machmas malacha. Meisa, the Stechemin says, the ikum of the achronim is still the yerpater, the drisha he didn't see apparently. Mari Malcho, he says, is shver, and he says the ikur is that you are pater pashtus. But these are the svaras both ways. So meisa, for years, many years, I have felt that it seems that the shaila here, the machlokas between the Ksos HaChoshen, the Nesivus, and others against the Machane Ephraim, whether someone who's a Socher Shlomi Das, whether he's Chayev or Potter, for damage that he caused from Eis Machas Malacha, should basically be the same Shaila. In both cases, you have the right to take it because you assume he's okay with it. In one case, you assume he's okay because that's the purpose of this donkey, it's meant to be rented out. In the other case, you assume he's okay because it's a mitzvah. In both cases, you didn't actually have his permission. So yet, in one case, we have one set of Achron, we have the Ksos and the Nesivus and Truma Sakri, saying you're chayav from Eisa Machas Malacha, and only the Machane Ephraim saying Potter. In this other case of the mitzvah, we have a different set of Akronim. We have the Drisha, the Mari Malcho saying you're chayav. We have the Loch Ketana, the Stechemin, and others saying you're Potter. The Svaras would seem to be largely the same Svaras, yet I didn't really see anyone make the connection, and we have a completely different set of Akronim debating both these cases. So apparently there is Makam L'chalek, and discuss further perhaps what the distinctions might be.